Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Got a stash. Got a stash. Got a stash. Got a patch. It's just cutting. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just cutting. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a patch. Got a patch. Drag is the new sex.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. It is another recap. We are almost at the finale, and you won't hear my voice every week talking to you about Drag Race, unless we decide to do it for France and Canada and Down Under and the Philippines. And no, that's a whole lot of extra franchises. We're not doing that, but we'll probably talk Drag Race in a wider scope on the regular feed. So I am thankful for all the guests that have come and joined me so far, and we still have a couple of weeks left, so I'm excited to see how everything shakes out going into the finale. Speaking of which, we know that this has been jokingly referred to as my version of the pit stop, and the same is true today. I'm making sure that we get new voices on, voices that you maybe haven't heard before, in addition to our regular cast of characters. But I'm also sticking to the pit stop format of not repeating any of our guests. So that way you get a whole lot of different takes on this season and mine every single week, because that's how we do. But joining me on this recap is a dear friend of mine, someone I haven't seen in way too long since I moved from Florida, but a one-time regular for my game nights in Orlando, a co-escape room participant, and just an overall amazing person. My friend Brian is on the show with me today. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, Pat. How's it going? You know, not too much. Just hanging out here. It's pouring now, so in case we the power goes out or something, we may lose each other. But no, everything down here has been good. We yeah, we definitely miss you, and you know, our little band of friends that always get together and stuff. But no, everything's been good.
Oh, man, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that we were getting to reconnect and talk Drag Race today. I do miss all of my people down there, and I miss my escape room outings and all of the craziness that we would get into. So I really do miss all of that. It's not the same up here in Chicago. It's a whole different world, but those memories are always cherished dearly.
Oh, I know. Yeah, we had some good times.
Yes. Some crazy times, but definitely some good times.
Exactly.
Well, before we dive into this challenge, which is the our roast challenge, which I'm excited that we got this season, Why don't we dig a little bit into the season overall, leading up to this, the 9 episodes beforehand. What do you think of this season overall?
I really like this season, actually. I like it, I think, more than the regular All-Stars format, where we're picking who goes home and everything. I never cared for that much. So, you know, having nobody go home is kind of weird, but I kind of like it because it just, I don't know, it kind of relaxes people, and I think they're having more fun with it.
I agree. I mean, I don't know if I would enjoy this as much if it wasn't an all-winner season, because as much as you don't want to say it, there's always queens that you know are not going to win. You know, when you look at All-Star 6, did anybody expect Serena Chacha to go any further than she did?
No. Yeah, that is true. I mean, I understand that. But yeah, I think, yeah, I guess you're right. Something like this where we all really like all the contestants, almost, you know, most people love all of them. Even like some of the older ones that I don't think people are that as familiar with, especially like the newer watchers. But I mean, Raja is like a legend. So I don't, you know, everyone's good. We like them all, and it's fun to watch them every episode.
I mean, I may not like one of them, but you know, besides that, yeah, I agree.
Wait, which one? I need to know who. Spill it.
Her initials might be Triple T, but you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey. I mean, not everyone's going to love everyone.
Exactly. And that's really from work or being at the Parliament House with her before she was even on her first season.
Right.
And the demeanor and attitude that she had. And maybe she's changed. Maybe she's humbled herself a little bit. I don't think as much as need be, but, you know, whatever. I will still commend a bitch on a job well done. Yeah. And her looks have been sickening. And she's done some things that have been great on this season. And I'll never discount that. I will just not like her as a person, and that's fine.
No, I mean, hey, yeah. And I mean, even, you know, no one can be as bad as what's her face from season 2.
James, formerly known as Tyra Sanchez.
Yes. Yeah. That's like the all-star villain.
You know what's funny, though, is when James would be around Parliament, like at a happy hour, like during happy hour, when I was hosting happy hour karaoke for those couple of years, I never had any problems with him.
Oof, I did.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, and that's the funny part about it, is
you
that
never know.
Yeah, people can have such different experiences with the same person. Mm-hmm. And you know, I will never discount somebody's experience, because that was their experience, and whether or not the person, said person, is maybe having a bad day or something is different, that experience will stick with you, positive or negative. So yeah, I can completely understand where you're coming from, but yeah. I thankfully did not really ever have any negative experiences with James.
No, I only really had one, but I'm a petty bitch, and it stuck with me for like 15 years. Well, no, not 15, probably 13. But never forget it.
Experience with Trinity, and listen, I'm still here talking about it.
The saltiest people right here.
You can't cross a gay, because we, like elephants, will never forget.
Never forget.
But yeah, this season has been fantastic. And for those of you listening that have been following along with these recaps, you know that overall, I agree with Brian, you know, so much. I you don't know this, but those that have listened to past Drag Race episodes know that season 14, I was very upset because RuPaul lied to us straight to our faces in week 3 and said she wasn't saving anybody. And then we proceeded to have multiple weeks of nobody going home, double Shantae's, all of this craziness that was not in the hands of the drag gods. It was in RuPaul's hands, and she did not send people home. So when this season started and she said, no one's going home, I knew it beforehand because I like to read the spoilers, because that's just who I am. But it gave me a different sense of what the season was going to be like. And when I know this ahead of time, I'm okay with it. If that's going to be the formula and that's going to be the format, awesome. Just don't tell me that you're not going to save anybody and then proceed to save everybody.
Save everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this was fantastic. One, I don't think that these queens would have come back if that wasn't the form, the format and the formula that was going to be used.
Oh, right.
Because why would you?
Honestly, nobody wants to go home first.
Yeah.
Be the pork chop of all-stars, all-star winners.
Yeah. Like, that would be just, that'd be such a blow to your legacy with the show. Mm-hmm. It's already going to be tough when the bottom four are not in that lip sync for the crown at the end as it is. Like, that's already going to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
So, but at least we get to have them on our screens and be a part of all of these challenges. There's no question of, oh, what would X have done for this runway? How would X have competed in this challenge? We get to see it all. So it's almost like a wish fulfillment scenario where you get to see all of these queens doing these runways. And we'll get to this week's runway, but I am so glad that every single one of them was a part of this runway, because this was probably the best runway and my favorite runway of the entire Drag Race franchise. It was so good. Spoiler alert, I fucking lived.
Yes.
Lived. I yes. live.
Yeah, I would say the same. Yeah, I love this runway. It was so cool and so like innovative. It's definitely up there for me too.
Yeah, I was so blown away. Literally was texting with a friend while watching it, and after, like, it just came, like every other queen I was texting him, and I'm like, this is amazing. I cannot even like the, yeah, we'll get to it. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but let's dive into episode number 10 of All Stars season 7. This one's a mouthful, just like the Viv. This is the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors Hall of Shade. I love the play on words and the play on the Kennedy Center Honors, but it is a lot to say every single time.
It's worth it. It's worth that mouthful. It's so good. So funny. I mean, so good.
If it's a mouthful, it's usually worth it. But
right. Exactly. Yeah. Can we actually talk about the Platinum Plunger? And that it was finally I love a prank that can go for weeks and weeks and have such little payoff. It's like chef's kiss. It's perfect. I loved it. And when Raja comes in and she's just like, she looks around the room and she just goes, cunts. I thought, I died. It was my favorite.
Done.
Such Done. A good payoff.
I was waiting for this because I didn't think it was going to get to this point. I didn't think that everybody would get locked before somebody finally just, before the joke was over. I really thought that Jada was going to blow it. I thought that it was just going to be one of those things where they were like, honestly, there's nothing to this. I mean, there was power once. Monet got to choose, parts or the order. I forget what it was. Oh, it was the draguation speeches order.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yes. That was the week that she got blocked and she got to choose the lineup and the order of the lineup.
Yeah.
But outside
I guess
that,
it did have a little bit of a secret, just not as big as anyone expected.
I mean, you know, sitting on a secret. I mean, if you sit on that, I mean,
hey.
To each their own. I'm not here to kink shame nobody.
No. No.
But you're absolutely right. That's how the episode starts off. I mean, yeah, Raja coming in and walking the complete opposite direction.
Oh,
going to the mirror, powdering her face, all of that. They were all just like, ooh, she mad. She big mad right now. And then, yeah, like you said, she comes over and goes, cunts.
Cunts. I mean, it's so stupid. Just having a Platinum Plunger, so stupid. But in the best way.
Platinum, like, but really gold plunger.
Right. Yeah. So dumb, but so good at the same time. It's just like, I don't know. And I feel like RuPaul just, I want her to keep going and just being like the coffee enema thing that she keeps talking about every judging panel. Like, that's my favorite. Like, when she's just out there and just off the walls, that's when the show's the best. Like, so good.
And it's funny because Rue had taken such a step back from allowing, and I'm sure that she critiques everybody. I'm sure that there is comments made for everyone. These judging sessions, whether it's for this series or any of the US franchises, any of the Drag Race franchises, they last a lot longer than we see. We see, what, maybe 5 minutes of critiques,
right,
across all of the queens, you know, 6 to 8 people usually. They're there for a couple of hours. They're getting talked to and positive, negative, constructive, maybe less constructive feedback. And it happened, you know, we've been hearing it more now. I think Trinity and maybe Raja have talked about there were negative critiques in these runways, in these challenges, but they've opted to only show us the positive feedback, mm-hmm, which is fine. But at the same time, there's a little bit of it like, maybe we should get a little bit of that negative even in this kind of scenario. But up until like season 14 with the coffee enema thing, and that was really early on, that was second with like everybody there together, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Rue really wasn't doing a lot of talking.
No.
Partially, I guess, to maintain the image of Rue, so that way there wasn't like, oh, well, I disagree with Rue, and, you know, letting the online community fight back or fire back. So I'm intrigued. Once that coffee enema thing happened, we're seeing a lot more of these wacky asides and comments from Rue, and it's fun. It's a different thing.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, now that we got off track twice.
You're not going to rip the wheel. You're not going to do that.
Right.
But now that all the girls have been blocked, Rue comes in, Rue doesn't come in yet. There is a video message that is interrupted by an announcement from Kennedy Davenport that the Kennedy Davenport Honors Hall of Shade. I think I got that right. I'm gonna have to always keep like a little cue card with me throughout this episode.
No, the Kennedy Davenport
Center Honors. That's it. Yes. I missed the center. The Kennedy Davenport Center Honors Hall of Shade is happening and has invited the girls. And then it cuts back to Rue with a promo code. I really want to know what she was selling, because I think the coupon code was back rolls.
Yes.
I don't know what she was selling, but I'm intrigued.
It should be some kind of baked goods, like a cinnamon roll. Like, that would be the best one.
I'd be down for that. So Rue comes in and lets them know that they are going to be roasting each other and the judges panel in the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors Hall of Shade roast. And to help them prepare, they are going to be mentored and coached by Giorgio Solomon. And it was a Carson or was it Ross? How did I forget the other person?
I don't remember now. I'm pretty sure it was Ross. Was it Ross that helped them mentor them?
Sure. It was one of the other white gays. Nope. That was on the
None
panel.
Of us can remember. Yeah, it was somebody was there. There were people. There were some shapes and loud noises. And that's all that matters.
Exactly. I'm like, I remember Giorgio. That's about it.
Yeah, he had some
constructive stuff.
I'm pretty sure it was Ross. I don't think it wasn't Cart. I don't remember. I don't know.
You know what's funny is that when it comes down to it, like half the time that there's like a comedy thing, Ross is not the guest, like the judge that week, mm-hmm, and it ends up being Carson.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? Can't we time these better to make it actually work out that the comedian is there for the comedy challenge?
No, we need the fashion guy to help with the comedy. Not that he is so funny though. I love Carson.
Oh, he's fantastic. Oh, you know, it's and they both are constructive but positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I enjoy about it. And there are times where I don't mind having a little bit more of a cutting like edge to your comments and your critiques of the queens, but sometimes, like, I know Michelle Visage can be funny, but she's not a comedian. No. She's not somebody that you're paying to watch do stand up. So maybe take a step back from being so critical and let, like, give comments and give feedback, but maybe you aren't the one to be 100% the be all and end all of what is funny, Michelle. Like, and I love Michelle. Don't get me wrong.
I do too. I think I love her so much. And I don't
mind. Sometimes you need a little step back.
Yeah. But I think she's the one that's there to kind of be more critical. She can be, she does. I don't think she minds being hated for her comments. Let's put it
I'm
that way.
I'm not mad about
that. She's
going to
be real. Yeah.
I love a good harsh criticism.
But also kind of know your place.
But know that you are not a comedian. I'm not paying you to go see you do comedy. So maybe your thoughts and your choice on like what is the be all and end all of what is funny. Mm-hmm. And comedy is subjective. And I understand that as well. But I'd rather somebody like a Giorgio Solomon who is a comedian. I'd rather that's like when there's
this is what
when,
they do.
Yeah.
It's their thing.
Janisco was in the San Diego School for Girls as the director. Having somebody who is an actual director be a part of the challenge is so much better than just Michelle and Rue sitting there directing to what they find entertaining. This is somebody, Janixa Bravo is somebody who gets paid to direct films.
Yes.
That's the critique. That's the feedback that I want. And that changed the vibe in how it was being done. So having Giorgio Solomon there to help give that feedback from that perspective. And I'll even give like, even Carson may not be a quote unquote stand-up comedian, but I know that when Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was in its height, you had a lot of these like speaking engagements and these tours where they're doing comedy along with what the show is. So there's all of this kind of aspect of it, of needing to be a professional comedian and even to a smaller extent. So I'm okay with the two of them giving some of that feedback, but you know, we didn't have to worry about it as much this time around because they provided quality feedback to the queens and we got to see like an eighth of what they did on the stage.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, this was one of the best comedy, like roasts or any, you know, any of those stand-up kind of comedy speech, you know, things that they've done. I think everyone did pretty well. I was kind of impressed, especially with some of them. And even the ones that didn't do good, I mean, at least they were self-aware and they kind of brought it back. So that there's something to be said about that. They didn't think they did a great job and really did terrible, like some queens have done in the past on challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably won't be something that we will remember in a year or two or five.
Yeah.
But in the moment, it did not detract from or feel like it tanked the challenge overall. So as the queens are in the workroom kind of going over writing everything, writing down their jokes and getting prepared for the roast, one of the things that really kind of stood out was for how I may not like her as a person, one of the things that we've seen a lot throughout this entire competition has been Trinity's willingness to help out her fellow queens, whether it's sewing up an outfit right quick for Monet to wear during the dance challenge, maxi challenge, whether it was helping Jinx with her outfit in the first, the ball challenge, and just, you know, just being there and helping all the girls. And I think at some point in time, there was some help being given to just about everybody when it came to designing or making, maybe less so like somebody like Raja, who does very well on her own, or a Jada, who already does all of these amazing outfits herself. But she's been very vocally, from the rest of the queens, a great help in the workroom.
Yes.
So when they are kind of reminiscing about the fact that like Raja hasn't been a part of a roast or a comedy challenge on Drag Race, because season 5 was the first one to introduce that kind of challenge. And then Jada talking about how on her season, they didn't have a roast, but the comedy challenge she bombed in. And then the conversation turns to Trinity and the fact that this is her third roast. Season 9 was the roast of Michelle Visage. All-Stars 4 was Roast in Peace for Lady Bunny, the funeral roast.
Yes.
And she did not do well in either of them.
No.
And she knows that this is a hurdle that she needs to overcome. It's a challenge. But one of the things that was so lovely to see was somebody like Jinx, who struggled very much in the ball challenge in creating her look, being very vocal about the fact that if Trinity needed any help, like writing the jokes, doing the setups, going over any of that, that she was there to help her out. And that is what sets this competition especially apart from any other Drag Race, because you know that nobody's going home. You know that when it comes down to it, it's not as big of a detriment to you to help out a fellow competitor. Mm-hmm. You know, and the funny part is, I think everybody knew going into a challenge like this that Jinx had it in the bag. But I'm sure you might remember this, but Jinx has been a part of one roast. She was in the first ever roast, the roast of RuPaul in season 5. She did not win that challenge. So,
I don't remember.
Yeah,
that I'm so bad at remembering like Drag Race history. Oh,
Coco was the one who won that challenge.
Oh, that's actually really surprising to me hearing it again.
Coco,
I didn't know that. I guess I forgot about that.
Part of the whole thing with that was the fact that Jinx was obviously labeled as the comedy queen, and then Coco, who that was her big struggle, was the comedy, and it was that whole thing, that whole like pageant versus comedy thing they were trying to do. And she did the Rue's play cousin from the Brewster Projects and gave that character.
Oh, right.
And she ended up winning and kind of lorded it over Jinx afterwards, of like, oh, you're the comedy girl and I won the comedy challenge. So Jinx had never won a roast. Granted, she's only been in one of them, but she didn't have a roast win under her belt. And that is a huge part of what she does. So going into this, I think we were all pretty certain that Jinx was going to nail this, was going to do phenomenally well. But at the same time, she hadn't won the roast challenge before. So where we see a couple of these stories forming in Trinity needing to overcome, Jada having not really had great success in that one woman show, Raja never having taken part in a roast challenge on Drag Race. So it was interesting to see how they were kind of setting up the field and how it would play out over the course of the episode.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think I could kind of see it coming with the whole Trinity thing, that she wasn't going to bomb. I didn't expect her to. I expected her to actually do pretty good from the setup and kind of having her be like an underdog story and coming back and, you know, doing well.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you're not wrong.
No, I think I could tell from the beginning.
Yeah, and that was something that I was looking at going, okay, you're obviously setting this up to be a overcoming this challenge. The kind of weird part to me was that, like, this is the only time that it's really been at the forefront, because you have somebody like Jinx. And I guess when it comes down to it, you can only do so much with what the girls are providing.
Right.
But we haven't really seen a lot of that. Hey, here was a challenge you bombed in your season, and now it's time to overcome. You know, we saw it with Valentina in All Stars 4 with her lip sync to Ariana Grande. They love a good comeback story, or you have overcome this challenge.
Yeah.
So to only really see it here with Trinity was a little interesting, but I guess I kind of understand it.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's a story.
It's a story,
and that's for sure.
So now that we've gotten all of the storyline stuff out of the way, it's time to hit the stage. It is time for the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors Hall of Shade Roast. I did it this time without looking, and I'm proud of myself for that.
That was perfect.
So the queens are all on the main stage, and there is still something missing to me about not having a crowd. And I know that it's COVID protocols, COVID guidelines. You've got the cast and the crew. The thing that, this is a little bit of a tangent, did you see the trailer for Secret Celebrity Drag Race season 2?
I have not.
Yeah. Coming back. Did you watch the first time around?
I did.
Okay. So you know how that was more of a drag you experience?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming back in August, but it's going to be more like the Masked Singer. And the judges will not know who the person is. They're just going to see the performance. And I guess the audience, like we as the audience, won't know either. We won't know. Yeah. People have already like taken a still shot from the trailer of the backs of everybody and deduced who some of the contestants will be. Some are pretty easy to spot.
Right.
But the big thing with it is, I guess it's, I don't know where it was filmed. I have a feeling it was filmed in Vegas, but it's a whole new setup. It's not on like the Drag Race main stage, and there's an audience.
Oh.
And no plexiglass panels anymore in between the judges. So like it feels like an old in the before times production.
A long, long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's really weird to me when you have these comedy challenges and no audience.
Yes.
There's something missing. There's an energy
missing.
Yes.
Yeah. Because be that connection.
Rue was trying her best to be all of the laughter for everyone who normally is in the room.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of laughter coming from RuPaul this episode.
I know. I mean, and sometimes it would go on for like what felt like 20 seconds of just that RuPaul like cackle, which I love, and because my laugh is weird than cackle, not cackly, I guess, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, I could listen to it for like a good solid 3 minutes and just laugh along with her.
Absolutely.
But there was like a lot of it this time.
She was slapping that sweat pant covered knee.
The hidden sweat pant covered knee.
Yeah. Yes, but Rue hits the runway looking fab. I'm of a mixed mind. She looks great. The makeup is really well done. There's just a little something different compared to when Matthew used to do her hair and makeup, that just isn't the same with Raven. And I don't know the name of the person doing her wigs now, but not Delta Work. But there's just a little something not the same. And obviously Matthew was doing Rue's makeup forever, like 20 plus years, 25 years or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And you can't expect that to be the same. Like, you know, you can't expect somebody to come in and just be able to replicate that.
Right.
But there's just a little something different. More artificial.
Yeah.
It less soft, less, you know, realism obviously has become kind of an antiquated term. But I think in this case, for a female impersonator such as RuPaul, it kind of is a little something that always was there in the past. There was a softness. Mm-hmm. And now it's a bit more of a striking makeup that's being done. And it comes down to personal preference on how you like it. Obviously, she's happy with how her makeup looks because she hasn't fired Raven.
Right.
And is giving Raven another season of Painted by Raven on WoW Presents Plus. So she's obviously not too mad about it, but obviously looks stunning. And we have all of our participants awaiting the opening remarks from the dean of the Kennedy Davenport Center Honors. Probably my favorite part of this episode. We bring out Wintergreen.
I love Wintergreen. So good. She's just like, I don't know, like so funny. And just like, I feel like you can tell, like, she just has like a good soul, just here to have fun, here to have a good time, not afraid to obviously try new things and just be out there. And it's just, it's good to see her back. Like, I mean, have her on anytime, because I'm here for it.
I was texting my friend Jamie on Friday when the episode came out, and I was working, and he was watching, and he's like, the cameo this week is the best one yet. And I don't think I got to watch until Saturday. It was either Friday night or Saturday when I was watching, and I was texting him and literally just lost it when Wintergreen came out. And he was like, didn't I tell you it was the best cameo? And I was like, absolutely right. I remember being at the Parliament House at the Drag Race viewing party for season 9 for that episode, because when they were about to come out, I looked at this one guy. I forget who it was. It wasn't somebody I think that I was really like good friends with, but like a bar acquaintance. And I said to him, I said, if Peppermint's drag daughter is not named Wintergreen, I'm going to riot. And then she came out as Wintergreen, and I was like, oh, perfect. And he looked at me, he's like, how did you know that? And I said, it's Lifesavers. It's a right. Goddamn Lifesavers flavor.
It's the only choice.
Wintergreen was the Lifesaver flavor. Mm-hmm. And when she came out as Wintergreen, I was like, no, that's fine. I'm good with that. Like, that yes. is beautiful. I'm done. I'm in. Let's do it.
Right.
So seeing Wintergreen come out for this was phenomenal. And then not only does Wintergreen come out to be a part of this, but Wintergreen then proceeds to recite the entire untucked explanation from the Death Becomes Her Runway.
Yes.
Dead. Right. Dead, dead, dead. Fucking lived. I died! And I live. It was great. So after the opening remarks from Wintergreen, we then go into the roast. So we don't dissect everything, like each person's roast. We don't do any of that. We already talked long enough throughout this episode about all of the minutiae of the Drag Race world. How we do this is we do highs and lows. So let's run through. Usually we start with the highs and we go with the lows.
Okay.
Let's start with the lows. And okay. That way we can kind of end the roast challenge, because this was such a good challenge overall that I want to end it on a positive. Sure. So, Brian, when it came down to this roast, what were some of the lowlights for you of the challenge?
Honestly, my only one would have been Jada, which I wouldn't even call it a low because it was still really funny. I mean, she stumbled, and that happens to everybody. I mean, no matter who you are, I don't care if you've been doing like stand-up comedy forever, you're going to have a show where you just like, you fuck up and it just becomes a snowball. But like, at least she caught herself. And the only thing I would have said that she should have done would have been a like a look over there moment. That's the only thing that could have saved it. Like, just mess up a couple times, be like, I know this isn't working, look over there, because that works. It works for her and it's on brand for her.
Had she done that like right at the end and then ran away from the podium, it would have been perfect. She would have just run back to her seat, but she, look over there. No. And then she sits back down.
No, not even sit back down. She needs to just go, like, crawl, like, crawl off the stage, past the judges, and just like out to some car in the parking lot and hide. That would have been perfect.
She's like, look over there. I'm going to craft services. Bye.
Jada would have probably been the only low, because everyone else, I think, did great.
I mean, I agree with you on Jada. I didn't, Evie's roast was interesting to me. It wasn't bad, but I don't feel like it was honed in enough.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like, I don't know if maybe she was a little hesitant because I don't know what her drag performing background is.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If it's more of a performance and you're not used to doing things like roasts, you're not used to doing things that kind of require that edge and that kind of pointedness to it, it can be a little tough. And they didn't have a roast on season 11, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't think
so. I'm trying to think. I know season 9 did. I don't think they brought a roast back until 14. I don't think there was. They've done comedy challenges.
Right.
But we also know that, like, you know, Snatch Game is an Evie's, you know, cup of tea as well. But if you're not used to that, if you're not used to the roast format, it can be very daunting, especially when you're up there with those queens. So while I didn't think it was horrible, I do think that it wasn't as strong as it possibly could have been in comparison to the other girls. I think both of them definitely fell on the lower side of the spectrum. Now, on the flip side, what were some highlights for you from this roast challenge?
Well, I think, honestly, probably Jinx and Monet would have been who I think the top were. Like,
I'm so glad you said that, because I agree with you on that. To be 100% honest, I had a conversation with one of my other online friends, Luke, who was on the podcast, the recap with me a couple of episodes ago, I think for the Draguations episode. And I'd said that, I was like, honestly, I think that Monet and was better than Trinity.
Yeah.
Overall, honestly, I honestly loved Raja as well.
I loved Raja too, but I mean, I don't know if maybe it was still them going for that Trinity story, comeback story. I mean, maybe that had some of it, but I mean, she was very good too, but I just think Monet and Jinx were the top two for me. They were the funniest. They just had the best roasts and the most, you know, the most like roast-like jokes, like mean, but with like a softness edge to it that like comes from a place of love and not just like, not just like a spiteful mean thing, but like, I just think theirs was the best. I love Jinx with her. Well, I know everyone was doing like Evie having a big dick joke, but Jinx is doing coke off of Evie's dick and having to stop halfway through. Like, I know that joke's been done too and like needing to come up for air or whatever, but like the way she like twisted it to like, and then I thought, I've become my mother. Like, that's just, it's genius. It's so, so funny. Like, oh, I love that for her.
I love that it was a callback to Snatch Game,
right?
Because she did it as Judy Garland talking about Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin.
Yes.
And that whole story, which was a phenomenal callback. But then, so to pull back the curtain just a little bit, we're recording a little later in the week than we normally do these recap recordings. So I will watch the pit stop, but I will not have had the chance to listen to Race Chaser because their episodes drop on Wednesdays. And I normally record sometime between like Saturday and Tuesday, depending on scheduling. But since we're recording on a Wednesday, I've listened to probably about 2/3 of the Race Chaser episode from today. And Willem was talking about the fact that when they were doing the roast tour together, the haters roast tour, that Jinx has used that joke before, but she would constantly change the punchline so that way it kept it fresh and new. So for her to, like, for that to be kind of a staple, but for there to always be just this little different twist and little different punch to it, I think that's fantastic. Like, I love it.
I mean, that is a genius move on her part, because you find what works and you do it.
And I will say this, because we have both made our opinion clear on the fact that we think that Trinity didn't necessarily deserve her top two placement and that it was very storyline driven. And I think we'll play into other things that will eventually happen throughout the rest of this competition.
Yeah.
I will say this. She did a great job. Comparative to season 9 and All Stars 4, she definitely did a better job than she's ever done with a roast. I just felt like it was very basic and didn't have the same teeth to it that a roast should have.
Right.
Where, like, Raja, part of the reason why I say I loved Raja's is because it really felt like a roast.
Yes.
She laid into the girls, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jokes like, you know, Monet should be living in Reseda because that's where her hairline is. Like, these are things that are part of a real roast. You right. don't have these kind of watered down jokes for a TV audience that is going to take these things and be like, oh my God, how could you be that mean?
No.
That's what the challenge is.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I think that was part of what resonated with me with Raja's set. I think overall, and I think Willem said this on Race Chaser, she's like, I want to congratulate Trinity's joke writers because they did a good job. So, and if you came into it with pre-done jokes because you know there's going to be a roast or a comedy challenge, even if it's leftover shit from the reading challenge, mm-hmm. great. Come in prepared. It's only going to benefit you.
Yeah.
But there was a certain confidence, a certain arrogance, a certain swagger that she didn't have that some of the other girls did. You can still be kind of laid back. Like, from what we saw of Shay's roast, I kind of have it in the middle in my mind. It's not a low point, not a highlight.
Yes.
But she had this demeanor that worked because that's the Shea Coulee brand. That's who she is. If she's going to read you, she's not going to be mean about it. She's not going to be vicious. It's going to be in a matter of fact kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, if Trinity had a little bit more of a bravado to her reads and her roast, I think I'd be like, oh, okay, I can definitely see this.
Yes.
So I don't want no hate mail. Nobody, you know, I mean, feel free to add me, whatever. Engagement on Twitter is engagement on Twitter. But I don't think that it was top two placement. No. We haven't even mentioned the other person who I think really had a shot to be top two, and that was Viv.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, she was so good. And I think it helps that she's English because there's just something.
Is she British? That. She hasn't mentioned it.
I think so. I feel like I might have heard that. Like she might have been on that one show, RuPaul's Drag Race UK or something like that. I feel like I heard. I don't know. But I don't know. There's something about that British humor and English humor where. And when they're like, it's when they're roasting you too or making fun of you or they're being so mean, but it still comes off as so nice and also just like fancy. It's like, I don't know. I just love it so much. I find it so endearing and it's just my favorite. Yeah, but no, she did so good.
I've never been a huge like Viv fan or stan. Like first off, I hate the term stan, but I have a special affinity towards the entirety of UK season one.
Yes.
Because I'm not the type of person that watches the Meet the Queens videos. I'm not the type of person that does like all of this almost studying before a season happens. That's not who I am. Your chance to impress me and get me to like you is on the show. Like, let me see what you do on the show.
Right.
However, when in September of 2019, this was a month before the show premiered, UK season one, I got to go to DragCon New York as press. And they brought the entire cast of season one to DragCon. And because the show was premiering in a month, and it was one of the first, I think UK was one of, if not the first, like international variant of the show. So there was a lot of focus on it. They trotted the girls out. There was a whole little like meet and mingle on the floor. I think on the first day, which is usually like VIP and press. And then on the last day, on the Sunday of DragCon, we went into the press room and they brought the girls out two by two, hurrah, hurrah, and had them go down the line of press, the different press people that were there. So it felt really cool to actually have Flame On be like real press where they put tape and like they had our name, like we were put in line. Aww. But then they had the girls come through and we got to interview my friend Brian, who lives up here in Chicago, went with me to that event. And he helped, you know, do the video and while we were recording the interviews. And I got to like talk to the queens, all 10 of the queens. I got to spend a couple of, you know, maybe about 5 minutes with each of them, like each set of them, take some pictures, do all this. So I developed such an affinity for that entire cast that it didn't matter if they went home first or they won the show. I really just enjoy them as people. Oh. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a huge, huge Viv fan. I called it from the beginning that she was going to win the show. But I liked Dabena, and I loved Bagga, you know.
Yes. Everyone loves Bagga. You can't.
I didn't love her as much on UK versus the world.
Yeah, she got a little full of herself on that. Like, she needed to rein it in just a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still love her, and just, I don't know. There's something about her that's just so funny and
yeah, warm and charming.
Yeah.
And that was from the time that I met her, I was like, okay, this is my queen from this cast. Mm-hmm. But Viv has been doing phenomenal in a lot of the challenges. But at the same time, I'm like, Jinx is my girl. Back the fuck up. Like, I need you to not be like trying to go for my girl. So I, as much as I wouldn't have wanted her to win the challenge or win a star, so that way she was still further away from Jinx in the standings, I still think that Viv had a better claim to the top two spot. I think that Raja had a better claim to the top two spot. I think Monet had a better claim to the top two spot. But from a storyline, from a production standpoint, obviously overcoming, doing well in that challenge really played into the overcoming the two bad roasts that you've done before and gave her the win.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I feel that way too. Because I think, like you said, Raja and who else was it? Monet. Like, I think they just fit, and Vivian all fit the roast aspect. Like, they filled the brief more.
Yeah.
Or fit the brief, whatever the saying is. But no, I think they actually roasted more than, like, say, Trinity. But, I mean, they were all, like I said, every single person I think did good. Even Jada, when she bombed, everyone was good. Everyone was funny. There wasn't, like, I forget which challenge it was. There was the one challenge before. It might have been one of the Snatch Games or something, where it was just not that funny, unfortunately. And it was just like, it was long. It's like, okay, let's just wrap this up. But no, this was like, I could have listened to this for a whole hour. They could have done a whole episode of just the roast, and I would have been perfectly content.
I would kill to see the All-Star 7 Snatch Game in its entirety and the All-Star 7 roast in its entirety. Put it on WoW Presents Plus, put it on Paramount Plus. Like, make it something extra that's behind a platform paywall, whatever. Yes. I would 100% watch a 30, 45, 60 minute version of those two challenges, because they were much longer than what we got to see.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, the 15 minutes total was nothing in comparison. You know, we're getting jokes that are being tweeted out. I think Evie said something along the lines of, Trinity has been called many things, a pageant queen, a look queen, she devil by night, you know. Like, there were all these little things that got cut that I would love to see, and could possibly change how I feel about my thoughts on whether or not Trinity was that top two person or how these queens did, because it's still a show, and they're still going to edit things to make us see the show or see the challenge in a certain way. But we will end our conversation about the roast with this one comment about how Trinity has been so nice that she even let down her last boyfriend gently and told him, let's just be cousins.
It's that one and the one about who was it? Was it Shay that was introducing her and also did the, you know, don't expect too much because her family, she comes from a family of snake handlers from Appalachia.
Yes.
Like, both of those are just perfect, on point, the best.
Oh, love it. So this challenge, obviously, top marks in my book, but even better is this runway. We've already mentioned the love that I have for this runway, but the runway category, the theme of the night is all glowed up. So all of these looks incorporate an element of lighting, and the runway lights get turned off so we can actually see this shit, because Ginger Minj famously did not have lights turned off, even though she had stuff in her lights on her outfit. I think Kennedy had the same thing happen to her on one of the runways. This time around, they went for that good lighting. They got that good lighting, because not only did they turn the lights off when they were at the front of the runway, they got that spotlight just on the face. Mm-hmm. And that's not always a good thing for drag queens, but this was done brilliantly because they all looked fucking stunning in that light.
Yes, it was perfect. It was like good sex lighting too. Like, that's how you want to be seen naked, isn't that lighting? Like, just enough to see the silhouette, but it hides, you know,
everything else. So let me ask you this. Okay. Did you have any lowlights from this runway?
Not really, no. The only thing, I took notes, I'm looking over my notes. The only one was that I really said was for Trinity, I wish there was more of a concept behind it rather than just being pretty lights, nice silhouette. I want that. I like the concept. I need that concept to be something.
You know what's funny? Do you know what the first thing that I thought when I saw Trinity in that outfit? I agree that there wasn't a concept aside from just all of Las Vegas wrapped around her body. The first thing I thought was EDC. I was like, she's the goddamn Electric Daisy Carnival right there. And because, I mean, honestly, even the back of it kind of looked like a daisy, like the way that the lighting was. But that was my first thought was EDC.
I could see that, now that you mentioned that.
And maybe maybe that gives it a concept. I don't know.
I don't know. But if she was going for that, I need like full EDC, like, you know, just more. I just needed more of, I needed to know what she was going for. That's all.
Yeah. My only kind of critique that I will mention about this runway, and this is so bad because it's a minor critique, because she looked fucking stunning. And I do not want this to like come across that I'm disparaging this look in any way, shape, or form. Monet.
Yeah.
I wish it lit up more. It was gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
She looked stunning. I love the concept. I wish it lit up more. Right. Because when the lights went out, there wasn't an impact. And it almost looked better with the lights on. And when it's a glow challenge, you want it to be impactful when the lights are off.
Mm-hmm. But no, still I agree with that too. Yeah.
So yeah, nobody at me on that one because I still loved it.
Right, exactly. I think that's this whole episode. Like, some things were not as good as others, but everything was amazing and perfect. And it's just like kind of splitting hairs at this point because it was all so good.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the flip side, what were some of your highlights, the high moments from this runway? And there were a lot.
There was so many. I loved Evie's blue mushroom thing. Oh my God. Was that was amazing.
Best she's ever looked on the runway.
Yes. Ever. Yeah, I would agree. Definitely.
I didn't even realize it was mushrooms at first.
No,
I was just like, bitch looks fucking stunning. I don't know what and then just like mushrooms. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But no, I love that one. I also was going to say, I loved Vivian's, the wings. I was like, those are my favorite wings, I think, that I've ever been on Drag Race, because they had the movement. They were flowy, going from like the white to color. I love that. I like that one too a lot.
Courtney Act would like to have a word with you about
no, wings. Listen. When Courtney did hers, those were the best. But I'm sorry. I think these... And then remember that time when Courtney was on stage and one of her wings broke? Did you ever see that video? That was a moment too. She just started spinning to make them to make her wings extend, and it was the funniest. No, I Courtney's wings were like, it was like a game changer for Drag Race, but these wings had like the movement and they were just like really elegant. And I think they were my favorite wings. I'm sorry.
My so again, a great look, but kind of like neither one of my highs or my critiques was Viv's outfit. It looked cool, very cool.
Yeah.
That page boy like haircut wig was not the tea. Like she could have done something a whole lot better with that.
Yeah, that is true. You're right about that. I guess I was just, you know, like distracted by shiny lights.
I mean, hey, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I Jinx's burned at the stake witch.
Oh just, god.
Mwah.
Oh, so good.
And so that good.
Just like deranged laugh. It's so good. But she, who was it? Was it RuPaul that yelled Balenciaga? Like, why?
Yes.
Jinx needed to do that. That needed to be a moment too. Because how could you not? It's iconic. I mean,
she wasn't Myrtle Snow in about. Like, if she had wore a Myrtle Snow type wig, maybe. But
that's true. But any witch being burned at the stake at this point should just yell Balenciaga.
I mean, true. And I will say this. I loved Raja's look.
Oh.
I only wish that there was some lights on the front.
Yeah, and maybe if they could, they needed like some fog or smoke.
Yeah.
It didn't read as, I'm sure it was stunning in person maybe, and it was just one of those things where it just didn't translate as well on film.
I mean, it was gorgeous.
But it was still beautiful, yes.
And when they showed it from the side, you saw all the lasers, like yes. 200 lasers. That was great. I wish there was a little something on the front when the lights were out. Because when the lights were on, that shit was like, when she turned that corner and started the runway, I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. But overall, amazing runway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, and Shay's. Oh, can we talk about Shay's sunflower?
Yes. Yes.
When I saw it, I was like, it reminded me of Spectro Magic at Disney World back in the day. Like my favorite nighttime parade, and I miss it so much. But that's what it reminded me of. I was like, she could have fucking walked right down Main Street in Spectro Magic, and I would be like, yeah, she belongs there. And it was cool to see. I think hers probably maybe like from like a tech standpoint, I was probably the most impressed with hers too, I would think. Because she had that
stunning.
Yeah, it was just like, it was so good. It was so pretty and beautiful. But yeah. Ooh. And the mermaid one that Jada was in. Oh, I love that too, because it was so like, I don't know. There's just, people need to stop trying to do mermaids on stage. It's never going to work. But like that also kind of brought me back to like the Broadway Disney version of The Little Mermaid, where they had everyone on skates and it was like Pirate Xanadu. But that's what I don't know. Mermaids on stage doesn't work for me, but I still loved it. I loved it. The lighting on it was so beautiful and it was good too. It was good. Yeah. But yeah, it just, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that in there because I needed to.
No, I hear you. And I think this might be like, I think we've covered everybody actually, which is
awesome. I think I was going to say, and looking at my notes, that was every single person that.
And that's a rarity because usually there are like distinct highs and distinct lows. Mm-hmm. This runway was just
everyone
across the board. So fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
So we move out of the runway into the critiques, which are all just positive.
Yes.
I think except Michelle kind of telling Raja that maybe she was a little too harsh, which
that's the point.
Yeah. Like that's just
it's kind of what we were here for.
That's a roast. Like I don't need you pussyfooting around and being nicey because it's not what a roast is.
Exactly.
And I don't agree with that at all. And there's rumors and whispers in the Willems that Raja may have snapped at Michelle during this episode and quite possibly centered around something along those lines. Who knows? You know, we'll never see that footage. You know,
no.
That footage is buried. But the queens come back from their untucked time. Do you watch Untucked? We usually don't talk Untucked on our recaps. Have you watched any of the Untucked this season?
I haven't. No, usually I do. I love Untucked, but I haven't this season.
The season's interesting because for the most part, it doesn't there's not much that happens, and there's like a lot of forced like do things. They brought the big pink furry box back though, from the first couple of seasons, the first four seasons, or yeah. I guess 2, 3, and 4. Two through six, because 7 is when they went away from the gold bar and the silver lounge. And,
okay, yeah. The interior illusions.
Yes. Yeah. Where the safe queens would then get shuttled into the gold bar afterwards. That way they'd keep the girls separate for a while longer and then bring them all back.
Right.
But they brought the big pink furry box, and they had to play two truths and a lie, which led to Monet's being like when she was in the UK, Trade came over and hooked up with her and then stole her Beats headphones and then came to her show that same night. I forget what the other one. Oh, her family didn't know that she did drag before coming on to Drag Race. And the third thing, and this isn't the order that she said them, but the third thing was that she is hooked up with somebody on the cast, which led to the "Who fucked Monet?" tagline that is now Jada Essence Hall Investigations' new tagline of "Who fucked Monet?" Nobody would fess up to it, and Monet said that she would not spill the tea on that one. So if you're on Twitter, go check out Jada Essence Hall's Twitter account, because she has tweeted out about it, including a chart of like the
does that have like red yarn and everything like a detective?
Oh god, no. I wish. Oh, that'd be phenomenal.
That would be even better.
I think after the Snatch Game, the Untucked had another pink furry box, and it was Kiki, Kai Kai, and Mary. I think that's how they did it. And so there was a chart of Kiki, Kai Kai, and Mary, and like all of the girls, and like who chose who for which one, to try to like start to deduce who would have slept with Monet. And the funny part is that Jada is one of the two people that said that she would sleep with Monet. So the internet has also turned around and said, "Ma'am,
Jada, was it you?
Yeah.
Are you forgetting?
we think you're deflecting here." So,
well, who was the other one?
I think Jinx. I think Jinx was the other one.
Well, Jinx would say that about anyone, though, I would think.
I mean, honestly,
I don't think she's shy about that. It's like, do you have a pulse? Are you within a 10-foot radius? Then come on over and come on in.
Exactly. And that's why we love Jinx.
Yeah.
So that was one of the big, that was like the best moment. And we had special guest judge Ronan Farrow.
Oh yeah, like okay, sure, why? I mean, it was fine. He was there.
But all the guest judges have gone back and spent some time with the girls, and he did as well, and it was fine. But after the deliberations have occurred, we find out that the top two, and we've already been talking about this, were Jinx Monsoon. If anybody thought there was going to not happen, I feel very sorry for you.
And spoiler alert.
Yeah. If you made it this far and you haven't been spoiled, I'm amazed. And Trinity, which we both have agreed that we didn't see it for her, but RuPaul and the producers did, so good for her, bringing Jinx's star total to a whopping 4 with her 5th challenge win. Trinity now joins the 3-star club with Jada Essence Hall, Monet, Evie, Raja, and the Viv all have 2 stars, and poor little Shay is sitting on 1-star island by herself. Ava Max's Kings and Queens is the lip sync song. This was a weird lip sync. First off, Jinx looking like the Dutch boy.
Well, you go from Burning Witch to Dutch Boy. Yeah. I mean, sure. Obviously.
Sure. And then Trinity, for being a performer, being a pageant queen, I feel like she's got about 10 tricks in her book, and she does them all the time. And then when she tries to do something different, it's really awkward.
Yeah, a little strange.
Like, why did she simulate fellatio on Jinx in the middle of the lip sync?
I don't know. It's a choice. I couldn't tell you, but I think, I don't know, even so, Jinx, her lip syncs are always a little strange to me. Like, I guess I know she's not like a dancer, but it's always like drunk mom on the dance floor at a wedding, kind of. But I mean, I live for it. It's funny when she does funny, it's so funny. But it is always a little weird. But I think she gets that. Like, I think she knows that that's not going to be like her strong suit, so she's going to ham it up and be funny. But yeah, Trinity's lip syncs can be really great. But this was kind of, it was a weird choice. It was kind of weird.
Yeah. The best part of the whole thing was getting her makeup on Jinx's titty, and that just being on her tit the rest of the lip sync. It was
right.
It was ridiculous.
Well, you know, makeup titties are a thing.
I didn't realize that was makeup at first. I literally thought that like the shirt was too tight. And you know that fabric that when it's pulled too tight, it kind of either turns white or see-through. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what it was. I thought that's what had happened. I guess not. I guess that was not what happened.
No, just a little makeup, just a little, you know, little foundation.
Yeah. But Jinx is declared the winner of the lip sync, is awarded $10,000. She is now the winningest queen at the moment with, I believe, 32.5. I think that's the running total. So great payday for her so far. She's probably made back close to what she spent on outfits. But we'll see what happens. But the big gag is that the platinum, but really gold, plunger is no longer in effect. Trinity and Monet spending all that time in the workroom talking about who they would block.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
They spent a good, from what we saw, a good old while talking about who should get blocked.
Yes.
And it was all for naught because we go into our final challenge next week, the talent show, where everybody has a level playing field and they haven't said it, but we know there's going to be a twist in that last episode.
Oh,
because there needs to be a twist because that's just how this game rolls.
Oh my God, what if the twist is everyone lip syncs for the crown?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Oh, you know,
remember how we said top four? We lied. It's
top everyone, come on in. Oh.
Well,
I would think that's hilarious. Everyone else would be pissed.
right. It'd be interesting. I don't think that's going to be the case. I love the fact that everybody and their mama at this point who has a microphone and a platform to put out their thoughts on Drag Race always mentions Mario Party and like either getting extra stars awarded or stealing stars. Like, mm-hmm. I love that as a collective hive mind, that's where we all go to. Because, I mean, who doesn't love and hate Mario Party for that reason?
Oh, yes. I mean, I never even thought about that yet. So apparently I'm not in that loop. But I don't know. I don't see that happening. But it could. Who knows?
Could you imagine if they were like, most compliments given to RuPaul. Here's a star.
That would be funny. Most snapbacks at Michelle. Raja.
That would be, oh my God, I would die.
I would die.
So too. we go into this last episode, it still could potentially be anybody's game because we don't know what twists may be in store. But before we wrap up the conversation on this episode, I'm going to ask you, Brian, what I ask all of my guests. Who do you see as the final two queens lip-syncing for their second crown and the title of Queen of All Queens?
Oh, okay. Well, Jinx for sure, just because she's done so good this season the whole time. I mean, she's never really had, like, a terrible week. And then probably... I would want to go with Monet, personally. I think she'd deserve it. She's just so funny on the top all the time, too. But yeah, I would, if it top two, I would think Jinx, Monet.
I'm with you there. Those have been my girls. I have a soft spot for both of them, both a professional and a working relationship with both of them, and I adore both of them. This is a season where, honestly, I wouldn't like it if Trinity won, but I'd understand it because she's done a phenomenal job. There really isn't anybody on this cast that I'd be like, oh my God, why did that person win? Right. It's not like if Serena Chacha won All-Star 6.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's like even Shay with her one little star. If she won some miraculous way, I wouldn't even be mad at it. Because everyone's just so phenomenal. They're all so good this season.
Because even with, no matter what their star totals are, there really haven't been a lot of challenges where any queen has done horribly. Like, Shay's done well in a lot of challenges, mm-hmm. and just not been in the top. So exactly. It's not like you could sit there and say, well, she's been horrible all season. How did she win?
Right.
And that's everybody. Some queens are definitely being shown more and having a much better overall image. But at the end of the day, they all are doing an incredible job. So, yeah, but I'm with you. We share a lot of the same opinions on these. So,
yeah.
Look, just confirmation bias. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everyone's done so good. So everyone, you know, they're all stars and they're all winners in my book. But no, I definitely... Jinx and Monet, I think they have just outshined, and I think they deserve to be in the top two.
I concur. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Dear listeners, hope that you've enjoyed this. If you are enjoying your time listening to Flame On, why not check out our website at flameonshow.com. From there, you can check out all of our social media. You can check out our YouTube channel. You can check out our Twitch channels. We haven't been switching lately, but still, they're all there. And you can also check out our Threadless shop, where you can purchase your very own Flame On swag. And if you do, send us pictures. We love to see it. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/flameonshow and join at any of the four levels that we have available and help continue to make Flame On the podcast that you love to listen to. Brian, it has been a delight and a pleasure to get to catch up with you and talk Drag Race with you. Let's circle back and see how everything goes after the finale. Let's see if our predictions are right. See if our girls make the top. And again, thanks so much for being a part of this recap with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, until next week, dear listeners, Bobby Itch.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.